Thank you, Aaron, and good evening, everyone. Last week, the wreckage of a car containing three bodies was found 150 feet down an embankment off Highway 101 just south of Confusion Hill. The driver of the car, 38-year-old Philip Manis of Leggett, had been reported missing, and CHP officers made the connection between the missing persons report and the crash. Manis, along with two passengers, suffered fatal injuries in the collision, which is suspected of occurring on the 4th or 5th of August. Today, a second victim has been identified as 55-year-old Cindy Lane of Laytonville. The third passenger has yet to be identified, and authorities are waiting on a DNA test to determine the victim's identity. The trio had been traveling from Garberville to Laytonville when Manis allowed his truck to leave the roadway. A DUI is considered a factor in the crash. The Arcata Police Department is investigating the theft of three vehicles from the Bureau of Land Management office on Hindon Road. Two private vehicles, a black Toyota Tacoma pickup and a red Toyota pickup, and also owned by Wildland firefighters, were stolen, along with a BLM ATV and its trailer. Thieves also stole power tools from the BLM vehicles parked in the lot, and anyone with information about the incident is asked to contact the Arcata Police Department. The Fortuna Police Department conducted a DUI driver's license checkpoint on Saturday night and arrested six men, three for suspicion of DUI and three others for license and insurance infractions. The checkpoint was held from 8 p.m. until 2:30 Sunday morning. An officer screened more than 400 drivers and checked five for signs of impairment. 35-year-old Kevin Ferguson of Eureka, 34-year-old Alfonso Garcia of Fortuna, and 43-year-old Richard Woods of Eureka were arrested on the DUI charges. Daniel Olhaver, Joseph Freeman, and Justin Sellers were arrested for license and insurance infractions. Fortuna Sergeant Charles Egebrecht said of the checkpoint, "While three people made the wrong choices and were arrested for DUI, many people were found to be doing the right thing by using a designated driver." And there are no current evacuations in Happy Camp due to the Gulf fire at this time. A community meeting was held yesterday to share information on the current status of the fire and the structure protection and evacuation planning. The Gulf fire is now 10,000 acres and 15% contained. Management of the fire is being handled by the National Incident Management Organization. And the Board of Supervisors meets tomorrow morning, and the board will discuss the issue of county fees. The board annually reviews fees charged by county departments and adjusts them as necessary. Fees and other county charges range from everything from copies of the county agenda and paperwork from the treasurer's office to the cost of a county code inspector called out to inspect a property. The fee schedule is listed on the county website with the proposed changes, and if any new fees or charges are approved, they will go into effect on October 1st, with exceptions for building and planning, where any changes will go into effect on October 29th. You're listening to KINS News and Information. We'll be right back after this.
Okay, Julian, I think I got all of this stuff working now. Roll music! And let me throw the switch here and put... Oh, wait a minute. What do I do here?
I can't take any more technical... Don't even tell me about it.
All right.
I don't want to hear it.
Well, just start singing, man!
There's things I can eat and things that I can't.
Jolene Roxbury brings comedy, wit, and creativity to the Saturday lineup, 7, 8 p.m. on KWSW 980.
You're listening to KINS News and Information. The Board of Supervisors will discuss the grant application by the Department of Public Works that secured $750,000 to be used to bring expanded air service to the airport. The funds from the Federal Department of Transportation will be used as part of a revenue guarantee during negotiations with interested airlines. Supervisor Mark Lovelace said the county is doing things differently this time around.
The revenue guarantee approach, I don't think a lot of people understood it. I certainly didn't understand it at the time. And so there was an expectation that it wasn't going to be expended and that this was all going to work out fine and that we'd have this air service forever. When they announced, it was rather sudden, and it's my understanding that the payout from the revenue guarantee hadn't happened over time, and so it ended up being an all-at-once reconciliation where they said, you know, here's our losses, you owe us the entire amount, and we're out of here. You know, it was a very frustrating experience for a lot of people, and has made a lot of people less comfortable looking at this idea again.
Lovelace then added,
revenue guarantee, what it is essentially like an escrow account to cover their losses in arrears. And so the only time they get paid out of that escrow account is if they, on any given flight or a month of flights or quarterly or annually, whichever, however it's reconciled for that period of time, if they suffer losses below a minimum level that's guaranteed by this, they can replenish, they can go back to that account to pay themselves back.
REDEC and the Headwaters Fund are also working to secure expanded airline service by raising funds for that revenue guarantee. And that's the news on this Monday afternoon. For KINS News and Information, I'm Dan Squire.